One of the things that is kind of an occupational hazard of being a Baptist pastor is you speak a lot about baptism. And I suspect you would know that I am in favor of it. But I would like to just ask those of you, I want you to listen carefully, those of you who have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and then gotten baptized following that, would you please stand at this time? If you've trusted Christ and you were baptized, that includes those who are baptized today. All right, I want you to look around at the people who are standing. And I want you to know that I'm speaking to those of you who are sitting. So everybody can now sit down, okay? Now, I don't want to put anybody on the spot even in saying that, but I want you to know that I frequently get asked one question when it comes to the subject of baptism, and that is simply this. Why can we, Paul, I'm going to need you just to move it ahead for me. We'll figure it out. Why should I get baptized? That's really the question that many people ask me. Now, one of the reasons people ask me that is if they were baptized as a baby. In Westchester County, about 50% of the people in our county come from Catholic backgrounds. And then of the Protestant population, a number of people in Protestant churches were also baptized as infants. And so if that applies to you, you probably would say, well, why? I've been baptized. I don't need to be baptized. And that's a good answer, except we want to talk about that, why we would ask the people who got baptized today, why they got baptized. The fact is, as you think about baptism, baptism is not just about standing in front of people and going under the water. It signifies something. So as you think about getting baptized, I want you to know that baptism ultimately, as you look in the Bible, is not about a mode, whether you get sprinkled or whether you get immersed, but it's about a profession of faith. But strictly speaking, from the Bible, if you were going to say that I was baptized as a baby, I was sprinkled as a baby, that the idea of being sprinkled is not what baptism means. If you look up the word baptism, you'll discover that it's just a Greek word that has been made into an English word. So the Greek word is baptizo. And we, rather than translate it, have just made it baptism. So that doesn't mean a whole lot to us except what we bring to it. But the fact is, if you looked up the Greek word baptizo, it means to immerse or to dip in water. So when you say I was sprinkled, that isn't immersed. It just didn't make sense to say I was immersed by sprinkling. That's really what baptism means, to be immersed. So technically speaking, the word means to be immersed. But again, my primary focus is not on how you were baptized, but on why you were baptized. What's the purpose of baptism? And baptism is primarily not about the mode, though I think there's significance to it, but it's about what it means, what its purpose is. And I would tell you that from the Bible that the purpose of baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, in the history of baptism, one of the things that you may or may not know, our practice of baptism since the time of Jesus was impacted by what was practiced by the Jews at Jesus' time. Some of you are familiar with John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came before Jesus, and if you remember, one of the things that John the Baptist did is he went around baptizing people. Now, you may wonder, I often wondered, why in the world did he do that? Where did that come from? Because as you look in the Old Testament, you don't see anything about people getting baptized in the Old Testament. What you discover is that people, the Jews of the Old Testament, They had different ceremonial cleansings, different washings. And there was a practice among the Jews that is still practiced today. It's called the mikvah. And if you know anything about a mikvah, you know that it is an immersion. And I believe that when John the Baptist preceded Jesus and he went around baptizing people, he was basically practicing this mikvah. And the mikvah, the purpose of the mikvah was, it was used for different reasons. Even today, if you look it up, you can check it out online. The Orthodox Jews will use it as a rite of purification, but it is also used when someone converts to Judaism. And I think that John the Baptist used the mikvah, the baptism, as a sign that they were, that people were committing themselves to this new kingdom that he was proclaiming, the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So baptism, as John the Baptist brought it into being, was this practice from Judaism of being immersed as a testimony to a change in somebody's life. So the reason that's important is because when we practice baptism of infants or young children, they haven't necessarily made that change in life. It's not their choice that they make. But what you discover throughout the Bible is that people make a choice to follow Christ, and then they get baptized. So, technically speaking, baptism is not sprinkling. It is immersion as a testimony of faith. Now, there are two reasons why I would suggest that each of you who was seated should consider getting baptized. I don't want any of you to feel like this is something you need to consider because you're sitting in a Baptist church or because you're listening to a Baptist pastor. This is my appeal to you to think about this from a biblical perspective. The first reason why I think you should consider baptism if you haven't considered it is because Jesus commanded it and Jesus modeled it. You remember at the end of Matthew 28, Jesus commanded his disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize people and teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. So part of their challenge, part of their calling as disciples was to go to make disciples. And the sign of the discipleship was getting baptized. And we know that this mattered enough to Jesus, who was, we all believe, sinless. And he didn't have to be baptized to have his sins forgiven. And yet, he allowed John the Baptist to baptize him. He was the model. So he said, this is what you follow. So Jesus was baptized. He commanded his followers to baptize and be baptized. So that's a reason to at least consider that. And then it's important for a second reason, and that is because it is the way in which the Bible declares people to be Christians. Now, as you read through the Bible, you'll discover that the Bible is very clear. We are saved by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's not a matter of getting sprinkled. It's not a matter of being immersed. It's a matter of faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear about that. John in the Gospel of John writes that as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to them who believe on his name. It doesn't say anything about baptism. Because the foundation of a relationship with Jesus Christ is recognizing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and trusting Him for your salvation. Baptism is the public declaration of that personal commitment. So the act of baptism is not what saves somebody. But the act of baptism is the declaration of what God has done. Now, let me just point out, as you read again and again and again, I'd encourage you, if you're at all curious about this, read through the book of Acts, and you'll see in the church in Acts that there was a consistent pattern in the church. It never varied. Now, it's not always spelled out entirely, but whenever it is spelled out, it is consistent. And the pattern is this: belief first, and then baptism. Not baptism and then belief. Those of you who were raised in homes where your parents baptized you, I think that is a sign of their love and their commitment to you, because in their belief they feel or felt that this was important for your faith. So we can give them full credit for what they wanted to do. But from the Bible standpoint, when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, you believe first, and then you get baptized. Let me just give you three different examples. One is over in Acts chapter 2. Some of you are familiar with this sermon that Peter preaches at a time called Pentecost. And he, after Jesus has been raised from the dead, he preaches to people who've gathered from all over the world. And at the end of his sermon, the people are moved by what he says. And they say in verse 37 of Acts 2, it says, "The people were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" They're convicted. They realize that they're sinners. They need to do something. And so here's what Peter says: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." So repentance is really the kind of the flip side of the coin of belief. Belief, you trust Jesus Christ, and as part of that, you turn from the person you used to be. So believe or repent and be baptized. A little bit later on in Acts chapter 8, we discover Philip is ministering to people in a place called Samaria. And as he preaches to them, this is his message. Verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized." So they believed and they were baptized. And Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. The point is simply, again and again and again, you discover a person believes first and then they get baptized, because the baptism was the public declaration of this inner commitment that they had. Again, if you look over in Acts chapter 18, you discover the same pattern at the end of Acts. Paul is ministering in Corinth, and he speaks to a synagogue leader. And this is verse 8, his name is Crispus. "Crispus, the synagogue ruler, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized." So that's the pattern: belief and then baptism. And it's again and again. You don't find any exceptions to that. It's consistent, because the purpose of baptism is to declare publicly this personal inner faith that people have in Christ. And that's what happened with each of the people who shared their stories today. They had made their commitments to Christ, but they wanted to declare it publicly. I tell people, and I think I shared this with some of the people who got baptized, I think the best analogy is to see it like a wedding or a wedding ring. That you can get married and not have a wedding, but most of the time you want to have a wedding. You want to declare your love publicly for somebody. And like a wedding ring, I wear my ring so people know that I am married and happily married to my wife. But at night when I go to bed, I take my wedding ring off. It just feels more comfortable to me. I'm just as married at night as I am during the day, but I wear it as a sign of what happened. So baptism doesn't make you a Christian, but it declares you're a Christian, just like a wedding or a wedding ring. And so if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would say it makes sense to get baptized. Let me have you turn back to Acts chapter 8 real quickly, and this is going to be where we will end. Now an angel of the Lord, this is verse 26, said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza." So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up in his chariot and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. Those of you who were here a few months ago when Rich Freeman spoke, this is from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. The eunuch was reading this passage. He said, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet speaking about, himself or someone else?" And then from there, Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when he came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. You can move the slide forward just a little bit. This is the question: why should I get baptized? And yet, with Philip, that was not his question. After he was confronted with the reality of what Jesus had done for him, and he wanted to identify with Jesus, his question was, why shouldn't I be baptized? And that's really the question I want to turn on any of you who come, maybe never even thought about this as applying to you. Maybe you came just to be supportive of someone who is getting baptized today. I can give you one great reason why you shouldn't be baptized. And that is, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, water, no amount of bathing in the ocean or a shower or anything else is going to change your spiritual state. So if you've never trusted Jesus, baptism's not really that important. That's a secondary matter. But if you realize that you're a sinner, just as the people who were getting baptized today did, in need of a Savior, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you want to follow Him fully, Jesus' instruction to His disciples was, baptize people. Get baptized. Declare it publicly to the world. So if you don't know Jesus, that's what you have to do. And you can do that right where you are, right here today. Just if you realize that before God, you're not the person He wants you to be, but that Jesus can cleanse you and forgive you for your sins. That's the whole purpose of the cross. Jesus took the penalty your sins deserve. And if you trust that He died for you, then, and you believe that, then why shouldn't you get baptized? I can't think of a good reason. I mean, I thought about it today. I thought about the people who got baptized today, and they had reasons why they might not have gotten baptized. I mean, as Gloria was sharing her story, I could see that she could say, well, you know, I've only been coming to this church for about 3 weeks. In fact, it was just the first week you were here. She heard that we were having a baptism. And I could easily have seen her say, well, you know, if I were had been part of that church longer, then I'd get baptized. But she came up to me after that service and said, I want to get baptized. It was a Philip or an Ethiopian eunuch response. Why shouldn't I get baptized? Last night, I put Isabel on the spot. Isabel called me. She said, I heard there is a state of emergency and I'm not sure what I should do. And I told Isabel, I said, you do what you think you should do, because you're in that age category where this could be a dangerous thing. And she said, I'm going to get baptized. David, he's turning 13. He could say, I'm too young to get baptized. Vanessa may say, you know, my track record has not been that great. It's kind of a new thing for me. But God worked in her life. The point is, each person who got baptized today could easily have said, I've got a few reasons why I'm not going to get baptized. But my question to each of you is, why shouldn't you get baptized? If you haven't been baptized and you know Jesus is your Savior, do it. Doesn't have to be in our church. This is not about First Baptist Church. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about, do you understand what this is saying? This is your public declaration of your personal faith. Our faith is so personal, but it is to be lived in public. And what has been done here today is a great example to each of us of how encouraging it is when people take a stand, sometimes at a cost, to stand up for Jesus. So why shouldn't you get baptized? I hope you'll seriously think about it. I hope you won't feel threatened by my asking the question or my preaching this sermon with you in mind. It's not about me or my beliefs or our church's beliefs. It's about your beliefs about what the Bible has to say. And if some of this makes some sense, I'd love to talk to you about it. If it makes sense, I'd be glad to have another baptism. Most importantly, I hope there's no one here who hasn't met Jesus as his or her Savior, because that is the foundational piece about which baptism really symbolically represents. We show it when we put someone in the water, buried with him in baptism, raised again in newness of life. It's an identification with the death and resurrection of Jesus. So I hope the testimonies that were given today have encouraged you as they've encouraged me. And I hope even beyond the testimonies, the examples of those who've given the testimonies will encourage you in your life as well. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Lord and our God, I thank you. Thank you for David. Thank you for Vanessa. Thank you for Gloria. I thank you for Isabel. Lord, I thank you for their willingness to do what they felt compelled to do. And what an encouragement it is to us, especially on this day. Lord, I pray for anyone who is here who maybe had never considered the claims of Jesus today, that they might embrace him as Savior. And for any who have trusted him and need to take that next step of discipleship, I pray that you would just make that clear to them. Thank you, Lord, for being our God, for the privilege of worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen.